The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up the hill. There he sat down and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to speak. This is what he taught them. How happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy the gentle. They shall have the earth for their heritage. Happy those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Happy those who hunger and thirst for what is right. They shall be satisfied. Happy the merciful. They shall have mercy shown them. Happy the pure in heart. They shall see God. Happy the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Happy those who are persecuted in the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when people abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Blessed John Henry, Cardinal Newman, caught the mood of the last few days well. Friday night today and Monday All Souls Day, Halloween, All Saints, All Souls, in his renowned poem, The Dream of Gerontius, which was set so magnificently to music by Sir Edward Elgar. But it's a dramatic poem that describes the death of an old but practicing Catholic man dying in a state of grace, and what happens to his soul as he enters into eternity and the judgment seat of God. It was 150 years ago next year that it was published. But the man is surrounded at his deathbed by Catholic friends who utter Catholic prayers culled from the prayers for the dying and the Roman Rite. And they've called in the priest to administer the last sacraments, and they all believe confidently in the intercession of Our Lady and all the angels and the saints. And just as an interesting aside, I was visiting a non-Catholic lady the other day whose friend had died, and she said, of course, she was a lapsed Catholic. And then she said, of course, only Catholics can lapse. She said, if you're a Baptist or a Methodist, you just stop going, and you never speak about being lapsed. But he said, you always say, if you've not been for a while, you're a lapsed Catholic. Yes, because it's the truth. And I said, and at the end, whatever you've been, wherever you've been, whoever you've been, we've always got something to offer you. And that is the last sacraments, even if it's just the last prayers for you. And then it was made more interesting, because I said, where was your friend brought up? And she said, oh, at St. George's Catholic Church in Worcester. And that was where Elgar and his father had both been organists at that church. And she said, oh, yes, as a little girl, she remembered and spoke about Elgar walking in the Malvern Hills. So I thought, how the whole thing coming together in a way. Because in the, she was a lady, this lady that died, she was, ended up as a costumier for the BBC on television, and drama was most of her life, as her friend said. But in the Gerontius, there's a demon chorus capturing Halloween. In a way, it's gone, because of what's happening in today's world, it's become a whole growth industry for Halloween. It's now marked with St. Valentine's Day and vying with almost Christmas for the money that's spent on it. But that's not what it was about. What he's capturing is the demon chorus. And as Gerontius is making his journey towards the judgment court, he hears this fierce hubbub. And the angel leading Gerontius says this: we are now arrived close on the judgment court. That sullen howl is from the demons who assemble there. It's in the middle region where of old Satan appeared among the sons of God to cast his jibes and scoffs at holy Job. If you remember, Job and Satan, God allows him to go down and test Job. She goes on. So now his legions throng the vestibule, hungry and wild, to claim their property and gather souls for hell. Hist to their cry. It's a great dramatic chorus if you know the work at all. And the one cry is, what's a saint? And then it sings, one whose breath doth the air taint before his death, a bundle of bones which fools adore when life is o'er. Ha, ha. And they make fun. But you see, in a way, it's capturing what was Friday night. Over the top, it's gone now, but it's nevertheless there. Now, in today's world, a lot of people will know all about Friday night because you couldn't miss it. So many times on the radio, I went to two of the nursing homes and all the elderly in their wheelchairs are all there in hats and wigs and all the things and all that. But they won't be dressed up as saints today. There'll be no reference to the good and the saints who've been following the Lord. And that reminded me then, because that was part of my parish when I was in London, St. Pancras. And when the moot was that the Eurostar station was going to be St. Pancras, there was quite a lobby that wanted it renamed because they didn't like the saint. At least let's call it just Pancras, not St. Pancras. But St. Pancras it is. I think it was only the French that wanted to change Waterloo. But when it went first to Waterloo. But when it came to us, when it was coming to us, I'd moved by then, but when it was coming, they wanted to drop the saint. That's part of that Halloween situation. But then, this is why I'm telling you, the demon chorus that Elgar picks up so magnificently, but it's there in Gerontius, is soon followed by a quiet singing of something you know so well. Praise to the holiest in the height. And then that builds up, and it builds up and builds up to the most massive crescendo of praise ringing around the building. Praise to the holiest. Because, and Newman makes the point, the demons are powerless to hurt the soul. And finally, as he gets near the throne, Gerontius hears the prayers and the masses of his friends on earth praying for him. So the demon chorus Halloween and the praise, the choirs of angels and saints singing the praise of God and the masses of Monday, All Souls' Day, for the souls departed. So the whole weekend hangs together. Captured, as I say, so beautifully in that dream of Gerontius. But in the middle of it, every Christian is called to be a saint. That is, to model our lives on Jesus so much that our lives mirror those qualities or those beautiful attitudes. You've heard me speak of them before, as beautiful attitudes that Jesus summarizes in that passage for us today. Because the saints realized that these invitations to happiness or blessedness, it's a better translation, blessedness, are the key to the meaning of life here and forever in God's kingdom. And so they indicate how the ordinary become extraordinary through the power of God's love that the Father has lavished on us. That's why that second reading is there. Think of the love that the Father's lavished on us. And that reading, most liturgical arrangements have a bit of variety for what you can have. But when we come in on the last night of our life here, as it were, we bring the body in overnight, that is the reading that's set. It doesn't say you may use another one. That's the one set. It's very important, isn't it? Think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children. And once we've been baptized for us, we're in eternal life. And all we've got to do is follow that through. But as I say, even if we lapse, we can still bring you back at the end, because we're there with the last sacraments. Or think of the vision the saints in heaven that the first reading had, which is what Jesus is getting us to focus on, those that have followed him, what really matters, with him, to know how to be truly rich, how to reject ruthlessness, how to grieve with hope, how to seek justice, how to offer forgiveness, how to desire decency, how to oppose violence, how to witness to the truth. And when those qualities, those beautiful attitudes, take root in our lives, then the pathway to saintliness has begun, and it can be completed in eternity. In the huge underground basilica in Lourdes, which takes about 25,000 people, and it's like an upturned ship. It's very plain in many ways, very austere decoration. But surrounding you on the walls, hanging down from the ceiling, are huge 39 large images of different saints from all around the world. And they're there as a reminder that for us here, the saints are within the church, they are within each one of us as we continue that journey of faith. They're in there to inspire us to live that journey of faith with those beautiful attitudes that the Father is asking of us through his Son Jesus, conscious that God loves us so much, all he wants is the best for us. And what he wants us is to share with him the glory of heaven.